to talk all things Gardos of the Locked On Guardians podcast. The great Justin Latta joins us. What's up, buddy?
Oh, I'm doing good. No sleep last night, but I'm ready to go and do this all over again today. I've been doing it already all day.
So we'll get to the draft stuff here because there's a right turn the Guardians have made here. But, you know, the first half of the season has come and gone. I believe they're still three games below 500 compared to where you thought they were going to be this season. How did the first half of the season grade out versus where you expected them to be?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of thought they'd hover around 500 most of the year. I think coming into the year, for sure, the idea was they improved the starting pitching, which was going to combat any bullpen regression they had from a year ago. And then you were hoping to win a lot of, you know, 3-2 baseball games, which obviously didn't happen because they had a hard time hitting, and the starting pitching also didn't do all that great to start the season. They found their footing a little bit since then. 10-game losing streaks are going to take a lot out of you. If they go 5-5 there, you're, you know, looking kind of close to what that is. The offense, like, there are certain guys that just didn't develop. Like, Kyle Manzaro had a great April, didn't continue that all year. He got a little bit better lately. They had to send Brian Rocchio back down. He's back playing a little bit better. I really was a little bit higher on the reacquisition of Nolan Jones. That hasn't panned out. You know, he's been better lately. I also thought Lane Thomas was going to have a great contract year, to be honest, and it's been, you know, a lost season for him. So I think a lot of guys offensively, they were counting on to step up this year and boost the offense, didn't take that step forward, and that's kind of why you saw things fall on them offensively throughout the year, and that's why they are where they are.
How much of this team is going to be Sellers? Is it going to be more than just Class A? Do you think Kwan gets thrown in the mix there as well?
I don't think either of them are going to be traded, to be honest with you. I don't see a reason for the Guardians to, like, they can listen on Class A. They, you know, they don't hang up the phone on anybody except for Jose Ramirez. They're going to take offers, but I just don't see anybody making the kind of offer that they're going to bite on when it comes to Class A. They got him for next year for six-something million. That's still relatively cheap. And if you trade Class A, you're not going to get guys that are going to really help you next year. Like, remember, they got Manzaro for Aaron Civale, and he wasn't really enough at all last year, and he's still going through it this year. Class A obviously is much better than Aaron Civale, but I just don't see anybody ponying up for that. And if you trade him, you know, you got to pay Cade Smith more money because he's going to be your closer, which means he goes into arbitration without a deal and saves jack up arbitration prices. So, and then they don't have the bullpen depth to survive that either. So I just don't see them getting an offer where they say, yeah, this makes sense for us. Like, I think they'd do it if they got an offer, but I just don't see that offer coming. And as for Kwan, you know, that's a conversation you can revisit in the offseason. I feel like both of them in the offseason, I just don't see that. I don't think their position changes. I think maybe they'll try to get something for Carlos Santana. If Paul Sewald has a good couple of games before the break, he's somebody. Like, I just don't see the offer being big enough for them to pull the trigger on those kind of deals.
Justin, what shot do you give them for a second-half run making into the wild card?
Well, I mean, you won 6-7, and that put them, what, like four and a half back, I want to say, of a wild card spot. The pitching staff's getting better. Like, Tanner Bibee's still working on consistency. Their schedule out of the break is really soft. You've got the Royals, the Rockies, the Orioles who are struggling. Their schedule before the All-Star break, the Athletics are coming to town who are pesky, but aren't having a great year. If they have a nice stretch there before the trade deadline, I could see them kind of having a shot at it. But they're also going to have to call guys up. Like, you're going to have DeLauder up. You're going to have Kapus. And you've got to break in those rookie guys. So it's still a coin flip, to be honest, because you're going to bring guys up from the minors at some point, and those guys have to get acclimated. They'll have to go through struggles, or maybe they'll be hot and they'll cool off. So it's going to be a 50-50 shot, and I don't see them being major buyers anyway. So it's really a coin flip in the second half, and that's only if they have if they take advantage of this soft stretch coming out of the break.
Justin, I've said, given Lane's been injured this year and given the fact that he is having as bad of a season as you possibly could going into free agency year, I think they should pick up the phone and say, hey, well, what about a one-year bridge deal so you can focus on getting healthy? And when you play this year, we can kind of spring forward next year. What do you think about that?
That's a great idea. You're 100% right. I agree with that idea because they don't have a surefire option for next year. Like, if Lane Thomas goes into free agency and they don't want him to come back, then, you know, Nolan Jones is your center fielder who's been most of the year, because DeLauder's not a center fielder. You can't do it there because he already can't stay healthy. You put him in center, you're going to put him even under more duress. Kwan can't play center, or you don't want him to because of arbitration and his hamstring issue. So, yeah, I think Lane Thomas coming back, unless you really want to believe you want to throw Angel Martinez in center full-time next year, which is an option. You know, you could put Angel Martinez in center field next year full-time. There's Daniel Sheeman who can handle second. Hopefully next year you have Travis Bazzana. But I would 100% be open to the option of bringing Lane Thomas back, because at the worst, you bring Lane Thomas back next year, he goes back into the role where he really fits the best, and that's hitting left-handed pitching and maybe playing right field in some sort of like quasi-platoon between center and right.
All right, tell us about Lord Tubbington. Do you like the pick? Hey, so last year he was constantly talked about being like 1-1. He was raved about from everyone, and then this last season it just didn't go as well for him. But obviously, he's still taken in the first round, and imagine a highly touted prospect.
He was, yeah. I mean, I think some of the 1-1 talk was a little overblown. Part of that is because this is just not a good draft class. Like, this is a year there. I can't even count the number of guys. Like, there's a guy who next year, Rock Chalowski from UCLA, that if he was eligible this year, he would have been the first overall pick. I feel like it was not a great draft year. So him being 1-1, whether it was overhype or the fact that it was just a bad class, I don't necessarily buy that. But yeah, I mean, he's got a lot of power. There's a lot of exciting tools. You know, people really like his work ethic and drive and who he is as a character. I mean, well, you don't get the nickname Lord Tubbington by accident. It's a fun player. It's a totally different profile than the Guardians have gone for in the past. It comes with a ton of risk. There just aren't a lot of examples in the major leagues, if any, of guys that have had his strikeout issues in college that have succeeded in the pros. It's the third. I'm not a big believer in batting average at the pro level, but in terms of how successful that makes you. But in college, when you have a low batting average, it's kind of a red flag. And he had the third lowest batting average, I want to say, in like the last 40-something years of where he got drafted. So it's a big risk profile. There's a lot of tools there. They're going to have to, they're pivoting on what they do, and we'll see if they can make those things work for them in a way that they couldn't make guys who don't hit for any power, teaching them power.
Justin Latta on the fan hotline here with Nick and Jonathan, breaking down the first half of the Guardian season, what to expect in the second half, and of course the draft, which began yesterday. So specific to Laviolette, is he somebody that can move quickly given that he's a college bat, or should we expect this one to take time?
I would expect it to take a little bit of time because, A, you know, he had another procedure to clean up the wrist issue he had late in the season during the SEC tournament. So, number one, I would lean on the side that he's not even going to play this year in pro ball, because they didn't set any expectations of a timeline of when he's going to play, because they want to go through and make sure, you know, it makes sense for him. I didn't get the indication yesterday that they were going to be pushing the button for him to play this year. So I would not be shocked if he doesn't play at all this year. And then you go into next year, he's got to start at the beginning, and you got to see, like, if he has a lot of the same issues in the minors next year, where he has a lot of swing and miss in the zone, it might take time. He does draw walks, but yeah, I wouldn't necessarily sit there and say he's going to move really fast. I mean, Travis Bazzana's not, I know he got hurt, but he's not even up yet. So, like, if the player like that's not up that fast, I don't see Jace Laviolette. This is not a great draft class overall. So I just don't see Laviolette as a guy who you're like, okay, next year he's in the majors. Like, I think it's 2027, I think, would be a good timeline for him.
What are you making their philosophy change, where instead of just a lot of contact guys, now they're going for some more power?
I mean, it's good that they changed their approach. Clearly what they were doing was not working. It took a lot of up the middle guys who hit the had a lot of contact, and they thought, well, it's easier to teach guys that have power who can already make contact, but that has not worked out for them at all. And they don't have any impact, and they don't have any cornerbacks in the system. I mean, they have, you know, Capus and DeLauder, and they've got some other guys. Everybody else is up the middle. So, you know, it's a necessary change in philosophy that way. It's just they took a hard right turn on what they were doing. And I don't think there was a real way for them to find balance in this draft, because you weren't going to find the right fit in terms of guys who make enough contact but also hit for power and have some position. Like, there was just no perfect fit for them. So maybe this is taking advantage of value. I'll be curious to see. Like, they've leaned into it. I'll be curious to see if this is a trend now, because this wasn't a great draft class. Did they pounce on value? Have they changed their philosophy? Did they go because it was a very weak draft class? I don't know. It's going to be interesting. What they were doing didn't work. So I'm curious to see how it works out. I'm a little bit of a skeptic, to be honest with you.
Justin, what's the latest on last year's number one pick overall and his trajectory to hit the majors?
So Travis Bezzano had the oblique or the core issue a couple months ago in Akron. He is now playing rehab games in Arizona. I don't believe he's played a back-to-back game yet at second base. He's alternated between second base and DH. So I would imagine they're going to also, wait on something like that. They also don't play whole nine-inning games in Arizona because it's 100 million degrees in Arizona this time of year. So it probably, I would guess, he's back in Akron by the end of July. And then, maybe sometime in September he gets to Columbus. That'd be ideal. And then I think we're talking next year. I don't think the Guardians' position this year, given that Bezzano got hurt in this time and where they're at, and I don't think it makes sense to bring him to the majors this year. I mean, you could maybe try for a September call-up and maybe to keep his rookie eligibility for 2026, and he can do one of those prospect promotion draft pick rookie of the year campaigns. But I would think it's more likely that we're going to see him next year.
We've had some injuries, obviously, but the Kafis, DeWater, Brito trio, is there anything? Didn't mean to make that rhyme, but it just did.
I kind of want them to all come up together now so we can do
that. You can
call
them the Brito trio? Yeah, I like that. Is there anything there? Do you see any one of them coming up in the next, let's say 3 weeks?
I hope so. I mean, Brito, I don't know, because Brito's back on the injured list with a hamstring strain, so he's currently out again. He came back for 8 games, and then he hurt his hamstring. So Brito, totally up in the air, which stinks, because I think Brito for sure would have been up a while ago if he was healthy. And then DeWater might have been too if he didn't break camp injured. So maybe he would have been too. So I would think that DeWater, as long as this wrist issue that he sat out with the last couple of games is not anything major, he should be up sometime in July or August. I can't imagine any reasons not to call him up at this point, at that point of the time, if the wrist injury isn't serious. And then if you do trade Carlos Santana, you do open up at bats for Kafis. So I would think by the end of the year, both those guys should be in the majors. And I hope that Brito's healthy enough to be up, because like I said, he would have been, to me, the first one that would have been up, because he was battling at second base with Arias in spring training.
Justin, before we go, what do you kind of think are Shane Bieber and I almost said Justin Lotto, John Means' roles in the second half of the season here?
I'm really interested in the Bieber thing. There's so much debate about whether or not he'll have trade value, right? Because I don't even know if he's going to pitch in Arizona here tomorrow or Wednesday. I don't think he's going to have time to pitch a major league rehab or a major league game. So how much trade value is he going to have? I know the Guardians traded for Alex Cobb last year. So I just don't know for sure if someone's going to buy in on him as a trade candidate. We'll see. And I also think he might prefer to stay here just because he trusts them. That's why he re-signed with the injury. So Bieber, he can come back and step in if he comes back healthy and the pitching rotation just gets that much better, hopefully, if he's looking good. As far as John Means, I guess we'll see how the Luis Ortiz situation pans out. But if John Means comes back in August and looks interesting, that's a guy you have for next year guaranteed. Hopefully he looks good. This is his second Tommy John, so there's a little bit more concern there. But given the uncertainty with the Luis Ortiz thing, those guys might actually play really important roles, especially Bieber, obviously.
Yeah, Steve Phillips was on last week and treated JP like an idiot for asking about trading Shane Bieber. Meanwhile, social media streets have been talking about this, and JP's been talking about it for a minute.
Don't worry, Justin. I treated Steve Phillips like he's an idiot, too.
That's okay. I mean, I Steve Phillips knows more than I do, so if he's an idiot, then I'm an idiot.
We can all be idiots together.
We've been saying that for a while. Justin, really good stuff, buddy. Appreciate you.
All right. Thanks, guys. I appreciate you.
Justin Latta there, Locked On Guardians on the Fan Hotline.
Steve was offended was the problem there.
He was,
He was like, are you even asking about
Bieber? You insulted his intelligence by asking that.
The audacity of a Cleveland sports radio host to ask about a pitcher in the city.
When we've got multiple instances of guys being traded despite not pitching again. But never mind. It doesn't matter. Alex Cobb being one of them, which Justin was so kind to mention there. We'll react to what Justin had to say about this situation with the Gardos and the Peterlin pass in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.